Music of Antonio Vivaldi. We heard the concerto number 5 from a set of string concerti called La Stravaganza, opus 4. That was number 5, opus 4, RV 347, played by the world-renowned Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, conducted by Sir Neville Mariner, taking us to 19 minutes past 10 o'clock. The executive director and conductor of the Kalamazoo Bach Festival is Chris Ludva, and Ben Gully is a celebrated tenor who performs worldwide and has a special role in this Sunday's holidays with the Kalamazoo Bach Festival. Both are on the line with me today. Good morning, Chris, and hello, Ben.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kara. Great to meet you. Great to talk with you.
I know, Ben. We have never chatted before. Thanks for going blind by phone. It's necessary.
Anytime.
Necessary during this pandemic time. Many, many concerts, of course, the entire life of live performance has been very much affected since March. And this is also true for the Kalamazoo Bach Festival. Things are going online, Chris, for this concert on Saturday. But Sunday, rather.
It's going to be something.
There was something I wanted to observe, though, Chris, that since you became the director of the Kalamazoo Bach Festival, it seems to me that you have given a lot of attention and weight to making beautiful concert recordings, not just setting up microphones and archiving it for the history's sake, but getting your choir ready to face microphone recording even before the live performance was happening. Is that a correct observation?
Yeah, we've been fortunate to have some really neat opportunities, both those by choice and those forced upon us. And we're grateful for all of them. And I think the process of making those recordings, be it by choice or by force, have been, it's always such an illustrative thing for any of us, but whether you're the sound engineer or you're a singer that all of a sudden is having to either record yourself in a studio setting with, you know, the rest of your choristers as we were pre-pandemic, or you are laying yourself bare by recording into your phone and sending it in and then, you know, waiting for studio magic to happen and to pull all these different voices together into something that sounds like we're all together.
So
it's a fantastic process. And I think educationally for all of us, recording always makes us better, as I'm sure Ben can agree with that.
Yeah, whether your teeth are gritted or not. Yeah, because this kind of process, I'd say for every philosophically, this whole period's been a giant reflection in the mirror, you know. And so you have to look at all the imperfections and all the perfections, and you can't hide when you're looking in that mirror of recording. You know, I sang that measure wrong. Oh, I got to go back. I didn't like that bow. You know, and then Chris gets the luxury of having the 60-voice choir and take everybody's mirror and stack them on top of each other. So it's been such an amazing process, you know, that most people don't really have to conceptualize. And so a lot of singers and performers and musicians, you know, the game has always been traditional. You show up knowing your part or you've got the music in front of you. And now it's so much more. There's so much more, you know, aspect for performing for without an audience to a camera,
right?
And to keep that joy and to not be fed by your peers singing in your ear or, you know, seeing the smiles of a colleague across the stage. It's, you know, Chris has been, I got to take my hat off again to Chris. He's not only been conductor, maestro, arranger, you know, producer, audio engineer. He's also been like champion and mascot for the group. And as a newbie to this, you know, as my first, you know, outing with the Bach Festival, it's been amazing for such hard times. It's you feel people lose their energy and kind of, you know, it's been hard. The COVID blues, as I call it. But Chris comes through every few days with a big, like, written out smile and an email championing everybody to be like, yay, you guys got to hear this. It sounds so good. And honestly, I think I can't wait. What have we already seen? That's the energy that comes across in the concert, is that everybody's so grateful to be singing And really, I got to say, it's been Chris is the nexus for all that, that really has been pulling us all together and making us show up and sing these songs. So
I'm
it's been amazing.
Bach and Brahms, but thank you.
Also, I got to say, props to this group, this little trio. We all say Bach properly.
Yes.
Goodness gracious. Well, thank you, Ben. I think you've been to Germany probably more than any of us. So.
Yeah, I love singing there.
Oh, my. I'm speaking with Ben Gully, a celebrated tenor who crosses genres, both classical and beyond, and Chris Ludva, the executive director of the Kalamazoo Bach Festival, on faculty at Kalamazoo College, and the leader for sharing holidays with the Kalamazoo Bach Festival this Sunday at 4. It will be an online concert. And now, Ben, I'm expecting it to be the shot in the arm I need.
Wait till the end of O Holy Night. You're like, I don't want to, I mean, I'll leave it with that piece. It's a great new arrangement. And it was set for chorus, and we ended up thinking about it for a TTBB ensemble. And so Ben is on that. We have guest soloists Nathan Moore from Fetzer Institute, Eric Jacobson, who runs the Voce State Foundation and Michigan School of Vocal Music Association, plus Howard Teachma, that's a longtime Bach Festival, and then one of our graduates that's off in Boston doing work with production. And so it's that alone, the high C at the end, and it is a high C, is stunning. In fact, Corey Summers, our executive director, texted me after hearing the little preview where I teased that out there, and she's like, "Who hits the high C at the end?" I said, "Oh, that's Ben." And, it's really stunning. And
you know, I get to tell you the full story on that. You gotta love high C's from your computer chair at 10 in the morning. That's my favorite part. People can have a little context for that now when they hear it.
You did that sitting down?
Yeah, man. We got to record it. Yeah, I had to listen to the track in my computer. So, yeah, everybody, that's funny.
Stand up for the high C.
I know, right?
Yeah. Sitting down. Come on.
For those who may have missed the title of the piece, it's Ave Maria. No, it's
O Holy Night.
Yes, which has a huge range and apparently is spectacularly sung by four singers, that some of whom we know and love for have loved for ages, and some like Ben, who are new to Kalamazoo. And maybe a quick inside tip for listeners, Ben Gully, you are married to Jessica Mallow Gully, the new executive director of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, which is such a bonus for us to have another incredibly talented artist join us here in Southwest Michigan. I hope it's been a good transition, even with...
You know, we absolutely have loved Kalamazoo, and it's wild to say this year has both felt like a decade and 2 days. Mm. You know what I mean? It's that yet again, that COVID blues. But I have to say, it's officially been a year since Jessica came on at the KSO, and it's been absolutely hard, but yeah. Also so beautiful and so amazing, because this community is really beautiful, and we're just completely charmed and really excited for how, you know, we're making our way. You know, art is still happening, as you're showing and Chris is proving. It's like, I always joke, it's the rose grows through concrete mindset. You know, art will always find a way. And man, the arts in this community have just been making a way to make it happen, even in the face of such, you know, hardships. So it's we're in love with Kalamazoo. And I got to say, I'm a lifelong Midwesterner, so it doesn't feel like anything too different for me.
Right on. Chris, do you ever think about, I mean, the Bach Festival goes back so many decades. Do you ever think about how many thousands of Kalamazooans have witnessed this holiday concert in the decades and decades it's been produced, some of whom are still with us, many of whom have passed away? I mean, there is a through line there of witnessing music in Stetson Chapel on the first Sunday of December.
It's humbling. It's so humbling. Mm. I mean, in particular, because we've now added not just the videos of the singers doing things, but these really gorgeous archival footage that we found of people performing in Stetson over the years. And so you really see, when you see the video this week, there's amazing footage of the inside of Stetson. And one in particular that I love, where there was a chorus I don't know, probably from in the 1940s, perhaps.
Wow.
And it was a black and white photo. The chorus is up in the front of Stetson, and you see the conductor there, and then we have that transition, you know, and one of those cool, like, morphing
yeah,
on video, where then all of a sudden it's full color and today. But it's really humbling to think of that it's not that different. You know, it's still great music. Mm. They would have been perhaps singing some of the same works, certainly the Bach that we're going to do. Maybe not the Beebles. I think that came a little bit later, which is an interesting story about when we get to that. But it's always humbling to think about our role with these pieces of old that have been around for so long, even A Holy Night, that, you know, we're just one little blip in history, and we can make such a mark with what we do.
Mm.
But it's also humbling to think about the fact that we're one of so many that have been serving this music, serving the composers, experiencing the music as an audience. I mean, it's just, it brings me such joy every day, whether it's online or in person. So we're
It feels to me like a ritual that must continue through this kind of hardship because of that unbroken line of concerts.
Yeah, we were definitely not going to take a bye year on this one. And it was September, and I was already saying, you know, look, we've got to do something. And then we had the really great fortune, I should give props to Public Media Network, PMN, for they had received a grant and were able to give some gratis editing to some various arts organizations, video editing. And so they're the ones that are producing the video content to go online, which, you know, that I had this great vision of this, like you'd see on public television. I had done these things with Mel Torme back in college and Cincinnati Pops. And so I knew what that looked like. And I had this idea, and we just kind of put it out there. And then the next thing you know, we get this call that says, hey, we have this grant money and we'd like to produce this for you. And then it really amped up the level of performance in so many ways. So we're grateful to them and to the foundation. And again, like Ben said, it's just great to be part of this community.
This concert, let me tell listeners, is going to be streamed at 4 o'clock on Sunday. And here's what the website has to say about how you can access this concert. First of all, go to KalamazooBachFestival.org, and there are some suggested ticket prices at student prices, at more generous season's greeting prices. There's quite a few to choose from. When you purchase a ticket online, it says you'll receive a confirmation email. Then you'll be notified in this initial email that a second email is coming. And that second email is coming within 24 to 74 hours of the concert itself. So keep an eye on your email. Then the link in that second email will allow you to watch it on your browser, smartphone, computer, a smart TV, or YouTube channel app. Lots of different ways to have a look when you tune in. You can access it at 3:55 on Sunday, and you'll be able to watch it with lots of people. Which reminds me, this is a good problem to have, Chris, for the last many 10 dozen years, I don't know. It sells out, so you can't even get into the holidays with the Kalamazoo Bach Festival on that first Sunday in December.
Yeah, it's a huge opportunity. I mean, we partner with the 1833 Society of Kalamazoo College as well. And, you know, so we were just thinking about with regard to them, with regard to the singers and their families, you know, literally a national or international audience is possible this year for this.
That's right. And it's you can't sell it out. There will always be another seat available.
And there's free drinks for everybody. Whatever is in your bar at home, you get it. And we have extended leg room for everybody's seating. So it's really a fantastic opportunity for everybody to, you know, to go first class. And, you know, my own parents are doing this thing where they bought one of these, you know, multi-tickets for lots of people. They'll get the link and they'll send it out to the number of people that they bought for. And they're making this whole party out of it. They're like at 3 o'clock, they're getting on a Zoom call with all their friends and they're having cocktails on Zoom. And then at 4, they'll get off the call and switch over to the link. So if, you know, if a bunch of,
I need to meet your parents.
I know. Oh, yeah. Like 70-80-year-old people can do that and be on a Zoom call and then switch over. I am so confident that the world is going to have no problems with the technology. It's literally just buy the ticket, click on the link, and you're good to go. And we've got this amazing thing called buy one, give one, where, you know, because not everybody has the means to buy a ticket. And so we've had a lot of people that have, you know, they'll buy 2 tickets, so they'll buy 4 tickets, and then we make sure that that link goes out to another organization or another place, you know, some of the assisted living facilities where people are so isolated right now, so that people that otherwise couldn't watch it are going to have a chance too. So it's really a true share the love kind of event.
I'm speaking with Chris Ludwig, the executive director of the Kalamazoo Bach Festival, music director, and Ben Gully, who is singing in this concert. He is a tenor soloist who has an international career. And Ben, you alluded, I wasn't expecting this, to be honest. I just didn't know how all the voices, I assume that you found some way to put everybody in a room, but no. Ben, you alluded to each person recording their part. And Chris, you received those tracks and then blended them back together. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's how you do it. Everybody sends in their track, first audio, and then we put them into a program on my computer. And so if you have mm-hmm. 24 people on a song, mm-hmm. there are 4 different tracks, and every single entrance and exit needs to be, you know, lined up and made sure it's exactly right, because, you know, that's the part of when we're together in a room working together, you know, we feel the breath, we take the breath together, and there are just these little subtle differences when you send in individual recordings that then need to be, you know, kind of cleaned up and lined up. And even with a click track, it's just,
well,
it's really tricky. So
well,
it takes about
30
hours for us. 30 hours of editing for a 3-minute song, I like to say.
Chris, so what aids did you provide? Did you conduct each song, and did they respond, you know, in their solo track, their home recording, to you conducting or to a click track or?
I went through and recorded. First, we record all of the parts, and we send those out. Because usually some people are, you know, more musically leaders, and other people are more musically followers, and we need all of them in a choir.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have the tracks so they can listen. Then sometimes you have the section leaders record the parts, so they're not only following a pianist, but another singer, so it feels a little like a choir.
Great.
And then I record myself in my basement, in whatever outfit I'm in that day, with my hair in whatever state it's in, conducting this piece for them to follow along. And then we add a quick track, and they watch that and they record it. And all we hear when they send in their track is their voice. That's it. Cause they're hearing everything else in their headphones. And then we mix all those together. And then after that's all done, we layer on, okay, can you send us a video of you lip syncing the song? And then we put all those together, and it's just a big, giant hodgepodge of editing bliss.
Yes, I know the work that would take. It's a little bit mind-boggling, Chris. But we have an example, a teaser, as it were, about 2.5-minute song here called Tomorrow Shall Be My Dancing Day.
Please, yeah. It's a fantastic retelling of the idea of the Christmas story from Jesus' perspective of being anointed with this gift and coming to life and bringing to the world the light and joy that he does.
We'll take a short break and hear this track that was compiled from the wonderful community members of the Kalamazoo Bach Festival Chorus, led by Chris Ludwig, with a little studio magic. And we'll be back with Chris and Ben right after this.
True love.
Lovely to hear the individual voices back together again with the Bach, Kalamazoo Bach Festival. Chris Ludva, both coaching, conducting, and mixing the performances for a virtual concert this Sunday at 4 o'clock. How, Chris, first of all, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is kind of a, I'm personal, like, so you're used to dealing with voices through your ears, you know, this is an auditory profession, but now you know what a waveform looks like. And you know, you can almost see the breaths, you can hear the pulses, or look at the pulses, you can almost line up each voice before you even press play to create a choral sound. I'm just kind of curious if this has been weird to overlap visual with simply hearing music.
It's kind of a love-hate relationship, you know. I think I love it because I think it's fascinating, like on an intellectual level, to see what somebody has poured their heart and soul into learning and trying to nuance and even feel something about theoretically when they sing it, to boil it down to a blob of color on a screen is kind of, it's wild, you know? But at the same time, I must also say that what it has really firmed up in me that post-pandemic, and I do say that with confidence, that I think we're going to get there at some point, God willing and vaccines willing and whatnot. It may take a while, but post-pandemic, I do think that we're all going to be better musicians for it. I think that audiences will appreciate the experience of live music in a way that they never imagined they could. It's the distance makes the heart grow so much fonder. And so I'm torn in both ways. And I have to, you know, I guess the last piece of it that blows my mind literally is that when you boil it down and look at a sound waveform and you think about going back to your original question about how many people have experienced Kalamazoo Bach Festival holiday concert over the years. And if you think about all those sound waves, those waveforms, and yet some composer wrote those notes, which it resulted in those waveforms. And those waveforms somehow, on a deep cellular level, when we hear them in a choir concert, be it online or live, they can move us to tears, and they can give us shivers, and they can, I mean, literally make people believe that there is something, you know, more powerful than us in this universe, whatever you want to call it. And that just, that is so exciting to me.
You kind of folded it into your whole gestalt, your philosophy of the sharing
totally.
Of music.
Yeah. It's amazing. And, you know, so then you layer on this thing. We've got two world premieres on this concert that we're doing. And one of them is, of course, our namesake, Bach. And so we were thinking about, what do we do from Bach that makes sense on this concert? And so one of the things that in researching I found out was that Philipp Nicolai had written this German chorale, Wacht auf. And many of our audience, I presume, have probably heard Wacht auf, Sleeper's Wake of Bach over the years as a cantata. And what was fascinating to learn about this is that when Nicolai wrote the chorale upon which Bach wrote his cantata, he literally was writing it in response to the plague. He had lived through the plague and was working at a church. And so he saw the way that this was affecting him. And so it was like, okay, doing Wacht auf would be great. But at the time, this was back in September, and, you know, we also have people that are American citizens being gunned down and killed in various violent activities. And I just thought, I can't, as a white male, I can't continue to just program music. I have to layer on something else in this concert that makes it feel relevant. And what is my role in all of this? And so it was one of those things that I think was truly kind of divine inspiration, I guess. And so we have reset the opening movement of Wacht auf to include texts from great religious and Christian hymns of Christmas time and Advent as we prepare for Christmas, with great words from various Black authors and activists, which essentially keep saying, you know, where is the dream? Well, the dream is mine. The dream for an equal chance, the dream for freedom, the dream for, you know, equal pay, et cetera. And so what it ended up happening was that this will be the debut of this opening movement of the cantata, and it's called Arise. And what it, I believe it is a call to action for all of us to work for justice and equity in this world. And I'm so excited to present it, because it's really it's a passion project, and yet it's also incredibly relevant. And then it has this other layer of being based on a text and a cantata that was a response to a plague far worse than the one that we're seeing right now, even.
We can't give that away, but it is on the concert on Sunday, which will be released at 4:00 to anyone with a ticket. You can get a ticket right now by going to KalamazooBachFestival.org, and you will receive an email, in fact, two email, first to confirm your ticket and second to send you the link to the concert, both very important. So again, that website is KalamazooBachFestival.org. A world premiere. You said there was a second world premiere as well, Chris?
Yeah, we also thought, well, we should do something with our alumni. So we've started something called the Young Alumni Singers Kalamazoo College. And I have 12 singers that went to K and have now moved on and gone other places. And I wrote a new composition, or new arrangement rather, of the great tune Great Bright Morning Stars, which is an Appalachian tune. Bright morning stars arising.
Oh.
Bright morning stars arising. And it's really a looking back to where are the bright morning stars for us? Where are our ancestors? Where have our fathers gone? Where have our mothers gone? In the middle of it, I think it really celebrates this idea of going inward and trying to pray and find our center, our true north, our North Star. And so it, in the middle of it, has a sequence where it draws upon First Nations chant for calling forth the Great Spirit. It draws upon Islamic call to prayer, upon a Judaic call to prayer, and upon a Christian call to prayer as well. And so all these things sort of layer into this great big finale, and that will be also premiered on Sunday.
The middle, the darkest part of the year, important to so many faiths and traditions. And Chris, you've always included the Christian perspective, which is kind of the one many of us grew up with, but you're also bringing in so many others with your programming and with your programming in general. I guess we'll go back to final thoughts here. And Ben, it's been a little while since we heard from you. As you're listening, I know you can sympathize with the production part of Chris's work here. What else would you like to tell our listeners about what they can expect on Sunday?
You know, we've already hit rounded some of the bases, but I got to say, from my perspective, the teaser I got to see that's on social media right now, I think all of our cheeks are going to hurt by the end of the hour concert. I think everybody from smiling so much. Because it's, you know, I think we talk about that. This sounds like the history of this concert, you know, that kind of reflects the nation, too. The holidays matter so much. So, you know, there was a moment probably 6 months ago. Chris, you might attest to this. I don't know if you felt this way, but if your supreme optimism just kind of always carries through. But I think a lot of folks had that feeling of, can we do this? Can we even make this happen? Or a lot of people saw the task of having to sync up 30 singers on 24 tracks, you know, 30 hours a song, do the math. A lot of folks just go, no, I don't know if it's going to be worth it, but oh man, has it been worth it. And I can't wait for people to see it. And the emotional payoff at the end of it, I think, is going to be really beautiful. Just, you know, specifically, personally, there was a window, a safety window, perceived safety window, that we were able to actually get together and sing with masks on in a big open space. And it was very emotional. We got done. You'll hear the Beeble at the end of this, actually. Oh, we got done, and there were tears in my eyes, and probably say a good chunk of the singers around everywhere, just because it had been almost a half a year, if not longer, since any of us had gotten to sing in the same space with someone.
Yeah.
And I think the listeners and the watchers are really going to feel that, too. So I'm excited. Yeah, that's what I'm excited for.
I mean, I think I totally agree with Ben. It's just that being together again and seeing that in the video, it's so many of our traditions are kind of blown out of the water this year. And we saw that with Thanksgiving. I'm sure we'll see it with Christmas and other holidays coming up. But I think for me, this music is so healing. And, you know, when I think about, oh, geez, jumping on another Zoom call, I think this one is going to be something different. And I really encourage people to jump on it. As a beautiful segue into the Beeble, Kara, if I may, one of the things that's fascinating about the Ave Maria, now lots of us have heard Chanticleer do it, or various church choirs, community choirs, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And what people may not know is that Beeble was actually a prisoner of war at Fort Custer in Battle Creek.
Wow.
For 2 years. And during that time, he became acquainted with these American folk songs, African-American spirituals, gospel music, and they allowed him to form a choir. And he was quoted as saying, you know, of his time later after he had been released, you know, what did you think? And he said, you know, I it was a good time. I learned, I got to know the Americans and a little bit of American life, democracy. We got good food to eat.
30 seconds, Chris.
Concerts with choir, soloists, and chamber music. And so then he goes back, and we think that somehow Ave Maria was composed out of this experience.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
Just hope that it will bring peace to all.
We'll have to stop now. This has been a fast hour with Chris Ludva and Ben Gully. The concert is Sunday. Details at KalamazooBachFestival.org. Thank you both.
Thank you, Kara.
Happy holidays. Nuncia Maria.
et concepite spiritus sanctus.